Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Hey, we doing all right? Yeah? Okay, well, we're continuing the series called The Office. We're talking about our jobs, and I thought it might be interesting to start with a little survey and see if we can find out, in our tough economy here in Las Vegas, who's been able to hold a job for the longest, and maybe who's been able to find, like, a brand new job, even in the recession. And so a little contest. What we're going to do is I'm going to have you raise your hand and keep it up if it continues to apply to you. Like, for instance, who has had their current job for more than a year? Raise your hand. Keep it up. Now keep your hand up if you've had it for more than 2 years. More than 3, 5, 6, 8, 10. Okay, we got 3 people left. Oh, you're still up? 11, 12. You're gone. Oh, you win. All right. Let's hear it for you. Congratulations for that. And I had our, or is there somebody else? Oh, I'm sorry. You're back up. You haven't won. What are you, cheating? 12. You're still in? More than 13. You did not win at all. Dude, that was low, trying to steal this guy's prize. Come on. I asked our creative team to get a gift, and I said, maybe, you never know if you're going to be able to continue holding that job, so let's get you something that maybe can kind of get you through a tough time if one comes, and so let's see what they got you. Seriously, guys, they got you a can of Spam. I don't understand that, and that's kind of weird, but here you go. Would you like to come up, or I can toss it to you? Have you ever had Spam thrown at you? It's quite exciting. It's like it was an old Olympic event, but they got rid of that for good reason. All right, and let's see who's been able to find a job. Let's see who has had their job the shortest. Anybody find a new job, and you're in the job right now, and it's been less than 30 days. Less than 30 days, okay? Less than 3 weeks. Less than 2 weeks. We got 3 people. Less than 2 weeks. No, you're out. Less than 1 week. Wow. Less than 4 days? 3 days. All right, so why don't you come up, and they got you. I really don't understand. A can of beans. I really don't understand that. I guess if you do lose your job, these can last you a while. I don't know. There you go. Congratulations on your new job. All right, let's hear from Mary. Very cool. Well, in this series, we're talking about our jobs. You know, The Office is a show about people at work. And so we're talking about us at work. And we're asking the question, what kind of wisdom does God give us in the Bible for our jobs? Which is kind of a cool thought for some of us. You know, and some of us think that God only cares about, you know, the spiritual things like praying and going to church and heaven and stuff. But we find in the Bible that God cares about every aspect of our lives and gives us wisdom for all of it. And so we're going to God and asking questions that are kind of work-related. Like today, how do I even know what job to take? How do I know what career path to go down, and am I on the right one? Like in your life, how have you made those decisions? What wisdom have you used? And how do you make sure you don't make the wrong decision? Apparently, a lot of people have. There's been studies done by the Princeton Management Association that have discovered that they believe somewhere between 50 and 70% of people are in jobs that are not at all a good fit for who they really are. They've actually found that with managerial positions and executives of companies, it's an even higher number, that about 70% of people are in jobs that just don't fit them. They found the wrong job. And so today we're going to talk about how do we make the right decision? How do we find God's calling for our lives and our careers? Now, I realize that the word calling is foreign for some of you. Like right now, you're looking at me cross-eyed, calling. Others of you have heard it, but only in the context of church, right? Maybe you've heard this idea that pastors have this calling for God, from God. The idea being that at some point in their lives, God will speak to this person somehow or give them a little nudge and let them know that they're supposed to go into ministry. Well, that's not right. It's not that God only has a calling for ministers. Well, it is in the sense that we're all ministers. The word minister literally means servant. And anyone who has given their life to God and chosen to follow Jesus is supposed to be someone who serves God and serves other people. So in that sense, we're all ministers, and God has a calling for all of us. The truth is that if God has a calling for anyone, he has a calling for everyone. It's not just that pastors get to hear from God about what they're supposed to do with their life, and everyone else, they don't get any word from God on this. And God has a direction that he wants to guide all of us in individually when it comes to our jobs. In fact, when you hear something interesting, The word vocation, like your job, right? The word vocation actually comes from Latin, and it's from the word for voice. The idea being that they believed for a long time back then, and some still do today, I do, that to find your calling, to find the right job, you have to listen very carefully to God's voice. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about hearing voices. We're going to talk about hearing other voices. We're going to talk about hearing God's voice. And how do we listen to God's voice to find what it is that we're supposed to do with our lives, and specifically with our careers, and maybe even volunteering here at church or in the community. How do we find our calling? All right? So I want to show you a passage in the Bible that's going to guide us. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Romans chapter 12. And if you don't have a Bible with you, no big deal. We're going to put it on the screen, the verses. If you don't own a Bible, we'd love to give you one. This is a free gift. There's no catch to it. So just stop by the Welcome Center on your way out today, and they'll give you a Bible. So Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Ready? We'll put it on the screen. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." So a few things we learn from this passage about our calling from God. The first thing we learn is this, that God's calling for you, his will for your life and for your career, is always good, pleasing, and perfect. Did you notice that in the passage? It says God's will for your life is good, pleasing, and perfect, which is great news, isn't it? You know, I think a lot of us have the wrong idea about God. We've come to this conclusion that God is like an angry parent or a bitter taskmaster, and he just wants to take the fun out of life and make your life hard and difficult. That is not the picture we get of God in the Bible at all. We're informed, we're told about this God who loves you so much and who wants such great things for you. He has such a great plan for your life. In fact, in the Old Testament, God says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, he says, "I know the plans I have for you, and they're plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." That's good stuff. God's will for our life, for your career, is good, pleasing, and perfect. However, one thing we need to make sure is that we don't romanticize that. You know, just because his will is good, pleasing, and perfect, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be wealthy and we're going to, you know, have incredible benefits and prestige and power and influence, and it's going to be this job that's easy and, you know, everything about it, it just is like, you know, a piece of cake. It's not saying that. In fact, it's interesting, if you read through the Bible and you look at the examples of people who discovered God's will for their life and for their career, the interesting thing is that they actually didn't want it. There's this story after story of people like Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Gideon, people who heard from God loud and clear about his will for their career, their life, and they were like, "Yeah, no thanks. I really don't want it." But God convinced them, and they eventually said yes. And as they experienced God's will for their life and for their career, it was good, pleasing, and perfect. And at the same time, it was often difficult, draining, and sometimes even depressing. Now, is that a contradiction? No, it's not. It was good, pleasing, and perfect, and at the same time, sometimes difficult, draining, and depressing. It can be both. Now, I look at my life, you know, for example, I feel very confident that I'm doing what God wants me to be doing, that I'm following God's will for my life and my career. And has his will for me been good, pleasing, and perfect? Yes, totally. Has it also been difficult, draining, and sometimes depressing? Yes, very much so. And there's just lots of parts of my job that I'm not that good at it. It's not for me. You know, I have to work on budgets. It's not fun. I have to do lots of meetings here, you know, with people in church and out in the community. And just meetings are just not my thing. I'm a little too ADD or something. I don't like meetings. And there's counseling I have to do. There's pressures you have to face. And it's sometimes difficult and draining and even depressing. But it's also good, pleasing, and perfect because I know that I'm doing what God wants me to be doing. And there's great comfort in that. And there's great reward when you know you're on the right path. And so even when the difficulties come and the draining and depressing parts hit, it's like, you know what? I can get through that because those parts are overwhelmed by the parts that are good, pleasing, and perfect. And so the first thing we learn and that you can learn here is God has a will for your life and a will for your career, and it is good, pleasing, and perfect. That's good news. That's good. The second thing we learn in this passage is that God's will for you is to be obedient in clear matters. That God's will for you is to be obedient in clear matters. You know, I've talked to a lot of Christians over the years, especially as a pastor, and they'll say things like, I want to know what I'm supposed to do with my life, and I want to find, like, my destiny or my calling, and I want to know what career I'm supposed to do, and I've been praying, and I've been reading the Bible, and I just can't figure it out. God, why won't you tell me? And they're kind of, like, struggling with it. It's interesting. We learn in this passage how to discover God's will for our life. It teaches us how to discover God's will for our career. And I don't know if you noticed this, but it didn't say it's prayer. Prayer is not bad. Prayer is good. You should pray. But the path to finding God's will is not asking God and hoping he tells you. That's not what it says. It also doesn't say that it's reading the Bible. Reading the Bible is great. I totally encourage you to read the Bible. But, you know, some Christians will kind of try to decode the thing and figure out what's God's will for my life. It's not what it says. It tells us in this passage, it's kind of an A, then B kind of thing. If you do A, then B happens. And what it says is obedience leads to God revealing his will. I don't know if you notice that, but in verses 1 and 2, it says, in verse 1 it says, listen, you need to offer your body as a living sacrifice to God. You need to obey God. You need to live a holy life. You need to not follow the ways of this world, but instead just live a life of obedience to God. And then, that's part A, and then it says, then. Like if you have a Bible, you might want to circle the then. It's a really critical word in this passage. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so if you've been struggling to know God's will for your life, for your career, and you just can't figure it out, and it doesn't seem like God will tell you, I think the question you have to ask yourself is, am I being obedient to God in the clear matters? Right? Because it's not clear what your career should be and what God's, you know, his kind of path for you is. But there are some things that are very clear in the Bible that God has for you. Are you being obedient to those? Right? Like in the Bible, it's very clear that God's will is for you to surrender your life to Jesus, to give him authority over every area of your life, to live a pure life, to live in community with some other Christ followers, to give generously back to him from the income that he gives to you, to volunteer in your church and really find a place where you can make a great impact with your life, to all kinds of things, to be loving, to have integrity, to be kind, to be generous, to care for people. And so are you being obedient in those clear matters? If not, I would guess from this teaching in the Bible, that's the problem. Could it be that you're praying and you're asking God, would you please tell me what's your will for my life? I just want to know where I'm supposed to go with it. And God's like, okay, but listen, like, I mean, I've told you a lot of things, and you're not obeying any of it. And so why should I tell you more? Perhaps God is saying, I've revealed some things to you, and you're not really listening, and so why should I reveal more of my will to you? Why should I reveal some of the more mysterious, unclear things when you've just proven to me that you won't obey the clear things? Or maybe it's not that. Maybe what's happening is God is talking to you, that God is revealing his will for your life and your career, but the reason you can't understand it is because, Like you haven't developed those listening skills. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's that God's like, look, here's some things you need to obey, but you don't make it a regular practice to listen to and obey God. And so maybe God is trying to speak to you about these kind of more mysterious things about what career path and different things like that. But you've done such a poor job of listening to God in the past, you haven't really developed the skill to be able to hear and discern his voice. Maybe there's like a listening muscle that you need to build by obeying God and the things that he's clearly told you in the Bible. And as you build that muscle, you'll find the ability to hear God about the less clear things about your specific life. All right, the third thing we learn is that God's will is to use your uniqueness. Did you notice that? God's will is to use your uniqueness. See, here's the deal. God wants to speak to you about your life and about your career and all that, right? And he probably is. But here's the interesting thing. The main way God speaks to you about this, not maybe about other things, but about your calling and your career is through the unique way that he made you. Not through prayer, not through the Bible, but through the unique way that he made you. In verse 3, let's look at it again. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." So if you continue to read this passage, I would encourage you to do that on your own. It starts talking about different gifts and abilities that God gives to each person. You've got some. And what it says is, whatever gifts and abilities you have, use them. God gave them to you for a reason. And so it says, if you have the ability to lead, lead. If you have the ability to teach, do that, teach. If you have the ability to administer, administrate, do it, right? And so what it's saying is that God speaks to you through the way he made you. And so if you want to understand God's will for your life and especially for your career, he's going to speak to you, but he will primarily do that through the unique way that he designed you. And so take a good look at yourself. The passage said, look at yourself with sober judgment. So we really need to understand ourselves, but let's not have like delusions of grandeur and assume we can do things we can't. Like really take a look at yourself and say, what am I good at? What comes naturally to me? What have I always found myself just kind of being inclined towards? What is it that brings me joy and passion? And as you understand yourself, what you'll actually be understanding is God's calling on your life. There's an old Christian author from years ago named Frederick Buechner, and he has this great quote. He says that your calling, your specific calling, is this. It's the place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep need. That's good. Your calling is where your deep gladness meets the world's deep need. Where's the world's deep need? It's everywhere, right? I mean, look around. Look at the world we live in. Watch the news tonight. There are needs everywhere. That's not hard to find. The thing that might be more difficult for us to discern is, where's my deep gladness? What did God make me to do? What is it that, man, I would do it, like if I didn't get paid, if I had the time, I would just do it anyway. What's the thing that I just feel like, man, when I do this, there's something inside of me that comes alive. I'm good at it. Like people can see that. They notice it about me. That's the place where you find God's calling. There's a great book on this topic called Let Your Life Speak. It's by a guy named Parker Palmer. Parker Palmer is a professor, and he's become kind of renowned around the world as like one of the best professors there is anywhere. He uses some kind of unconventional methods, just an incredible teacher. And because of his growing notoriety in the educational world, he was, a few years back, offered a job as the president of a university. Quite a promotion, right? There's more pay, more status. You get to call the shots. You're the boss. And so, like any of us, he immediately decides, of course, right? Why wouldn't you say yes to that? Of course I'll do that. There was only one problem for Parker Palmer. He's a Quaker. And the Quakers have this tradition that when you face a decision about your calling, about what you're supposed to do with your life, that you call together a clearness committee. A clearness committee are a group of five or six people who know you very well, and they come and they spend several hours with you asking you questions, questions about you. And they don't offer advice. They just ask questions, get you to talk, and then they listen carefully, and then they pray that God would very clearly reveal his will for his calling on your life. Parker Palmer writes this. He says, he talks about calling together the clearance committee because he had to. He says, looking back, of course, it is clear that my real intent in convening this group was not to discern anything, but to brag about being offered a job I had already decided to accept. For a while, the questions were easy, at least for a dreamer like me. What is your vision for this institution? What is its mission in the larger society? How would you change the curriculum? How would you handle difficult decision making? What about dealing with conflict? Halfway into the process, someone asked a question that sounded easier, yet turned out to be very hard. Parker, what would you like most about being a school president? The simplicity of that question loosed me from my head and lowered me into my heart. I remember pondering for at least a full minute before I could respond. Then, very softly and tentatively, I started to speak. Well, I would not like having to give up my writing and my teaching. I would not like the politics of the presidency, never knowing who your real friends are. I would not like having to glad handle people I don't respect simply because they have money. I would not like, gently but firmly, the person who had posed the question interrupted me. May I remind you that I asked what you would most like? I responded impatiently, yes, yes, I'm working my way toward an answer. Then I resumed my sullen but honest litany. I would not like having to give up my summer vacations. I would not like having to wear a suit and a tie all the time. I would not like, once again, the questioner called me back to the original question. But this time I felt compelled to give the only honest answer I possessed, an answer that came from the very bottom of my barrel, an answer that appalled even me as I spoke it. Well, said I in the smallest voice I possess, I guess what I'd like most is getting my picture in the paper with the word president under it. He says, I was sitting with seasoned Quakers, which I don't know what that means, by the way. He says, I was sitting with seasoned Quakers who knew that though my answer was laughable, my mortal soul was clearly at stake. They did not laugh at all, but went to a long and serious silence, a silence in which I could only sweat and inwardly groan. Finally, my questioner broke the silence with a question that cracked all of us up and cracked me open. Parker, he said, can you think of an easier way to get your picture in the paper? You know, what's interesting is if it was you or me, we would have taken the job, right? We wouldn't have called together a clearance committee. We would have said, yeah, more pay, prestige, power. Why wouldn't you? But Parker Palmer said no. He said no to this presidency, this promotion. Now, if he had said yes, if he had gone forward like we would have, you know what would have happened next? He would have started working in the job, and he would have found it to rob him of his joy. The joy he used to have researching and writing and teaching, not there anymore. He would have found himself feeling inadequate, like he wasn't a good fit for the job, because he wouldn't have been. And he would have tried to cover up his inadequacies so no one else would be aware of them. He would have found himself frustrated. He would have dreaded going to work every day instead of enjoying it like he used to. And then what would have happened is he would have blamed other people. He would have said, man, I got the wrong university. I mean, like, you know, it's dysfunctional here. You can tell because look at my job. He would have blamed the board. You know, they're not very good. He would have said, I have a troublesome faculty. You know, my professors just aren't cutting it. But that wouldn't have been the case at all. It would have been him. Right? The book is called Let Your Life Speak. The idea of the book is, and it's all about finding your calling, but the idea of the book is you can't choose your calling. All you can do is let your life speak. The idea being that we all think we choose what we want to do with our life. If you do that, you'll probably choose wrong. Instead, what we need to do is let our lives speak. God wants to speak to us. We need to hear his voice to find his will for our life and for our career. And the primary way he speaks to us is through our lives, through the unique way that he designed us. And so we need to listen carefully for God's voice. Here's the problem. There are other voices we hear. We hear other voices. And those voices have the potential to drown out the voice of God. Right? Maybe what you do is you hear this voice that says to you that you were created to learn. You know, you were created to learn. And so you've always been drawn to reading and writing and teaching because through your learning, you want to benefit others. But there's this other voice you hear. It's this voice that says, no, you need to be a corporate success because it's all about the Benjamins. And it's possible for that other voice to drown out the voice of God. Right? Or maybe you were born for the corporate world. You were designed for it. From an early age, you found yourself being a good strategic thinker, and you can build teams, and you can crunch numbers. But there's this other voice. It's your family's. Because from a very young age, they told you, all the men in our family go into the military, and that's what you're going to do too. And maybe that other voice can drown out the voice of God. Maybe you've been told that to be important, you need to be the center of attention. The spotlight has to be fixed firmly on you. And so you are still desperately clinging to this idea that you're going to make it as an actor or actress or model or singer, even though that was never part of God's design for your life. Or maybe God made you to be an artist. Maybe he made you to be an artist, but from a very young age, you were told that when you get older, you're going to take over dad's business. And perhaps that other voice has drowned out the voice of God in your life. I can tell you, for me, I went to law school. And during law school, I started thinking that maybe I would transfer from law school to seminary, to Bible college, and to become a pastor. Now, I will tell you that I think I could have stayed in law school and still honored the way God made me. I don't think that God has like one specific job for each of us. I think there's a variety, a small variety of things that we can do that honor our unique design. And I think I could have stayed with that career and still honored God and not been disobedient to his voice in my life. But I just felt like I was hearing the voice of God, and it was steering me towards seminary and towards a career in ministry instead of law. But there were other voices I was hearing as well. One was the voice of my mother. I didn't tell her what I was thinking, but I could still hear her voice. Man, her whole life, she dreamed about having this son who was going to be a lawyer. And she was bragging all the time about her son who was in law school and would be a lawyer soon. And man, I thought, what would it do to her when I tell her, I'm going to actually transfer and become a pastor? The other voice I heard seemed to be coming from my wallet. I actually had a free ride to law school. I didn't pay anything. Like, I had my meals paid for, my books paid for, everything. I didn't have to spend a dime. And the average salary coming out of my law school, this was almost 20 years ago, was $80,000 first year. And that was like average. I had straight A's. Like, I could have done better than average. So I look into seminary. I discover I'm going to have to take out loans. I eventually ended up taking over $36,000 of loans out for seminary. And I quickly discovered the average salary coming out of seminary, $20,000, $25,000. So I had to ask myself, am I really willing to give out away to give up 50,000 plus of income every single year for my entire life just to listen to what I think is God's voice? And I'll tell you, those other voices could have easily drowned out the voice of God. And so what about you? What about you? Some of you are still young and you're still making these decisions. And you're still trying to figure out. And it may be that you've taken a step or two down a path, but it's certainly not too late to kind of go back and say, wait a second. How has God made me? How is God speaking to me? What's the right path for me? Others of you, perhaps you've lost your job because of the recession. And that's a horrible thing. And I realize you're probably struggling. But maybe it's also one of the best things that ever happened to you. Because maybe what it will do is give you this opportunity to start a new career. Maybe you can take this time you have to say, whoa, instead of just when the economy comes back, jumping into the same job, maybe I wasn't in the right job. Maybe I need to take some time and really try to figure out what God's will for my life is and what career he has for me, to let my life speak and really ask those questions. Others of you are in a job. You currently have a job. It's just the wrong job. And it's not what we talked about last week where we said, you know, sometimes we have a bad attitude and here's some ways we can develop a good attitude. It's not that. It's that you are in the wrong job. It does not fit you at all. And that's not good. And God did not create you to have you just waste away hours, 40, 50 hours every week, your entire life, on a job that he never meant for you to have. And so if that's you, what do you do? Well, I think it would begin by taking this seriously and saying, I need to figure out what God's will is for my life. What God's calling is for my career. Again, it's not necessarily one specific thing, but what are some of the things that God made me to do? And so I'm going to ask those hard questions, and I am going to pray, but I'm also going to take a lot of time to consider myself with sober judgment, really take a look at myself. You may want to invite a clearness committee to help you. You'd have to pretend you're a Quaker for a little bit, which I think means you have to eat oatmeal, but I'm not positive about that. Don't quote me, but it might be true. You can look that up on the internet or something. But anyway, just invite 3, 4, 5, 6 friends to come and meet with you. Explain what you're doing. Make sure it's people who care about you and who know you. And just say, would you guys just ask me a ton of questions and really listen to my answers. And I'm going to try to listen to my answers. And would you pray for me that God would reveal his calling on my life? We have this Verve Catalyst blog. I hope you guys are using it. It's got useful stuff every week about the message. Tuesday morning, I'll put some questions on that blog that you can use either individually or with a clearness committee if you want to put together some friends to help you with that. VerveCatalyst.org. And so, I'll tell you this. God has a will for your life. It's good, pleasing, and perfect. The way you discover it is through obedience and the clear things. Then you're able to hear what God's saying on these more specific and vague, kind of mysterious things. And the way you find it is by letting God speak to you, mostly through the way he's created you, letting your life speak, because God wants to use your uniqueness. And your life is way too short, and it's way too important to miss out on God's will for you. Anyone old enough like me to remember the movie Chariots of Fire? Maybe saw the movie way back when? Yeah, some of us? Okay. The movie's about this guy named Eric Little. Eric Little was an Olympic runner for Scotland in the 1930s. And Eric Little's parents were missionaries to China. Well, there's this one powerful moment in the movie where Eric's sister Jenny is very upset that he's going to go into the Olympics and become a runner instead of joining his family with their mission efforts in China. And so Eric sits Jenny down and he kind of looks her in the eyes and he says this. He says, Jenny, God made me for a purpose, for China. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. And it's not just for fun. When I win, I bring him honor. And I want to tell you this morning that God made you for a purpose. And if you find God's will, his calling for your life and your career, you will feel his pleasure. And you will honor him. So let me pray that for you. God, thanks so much that you care about this, that you're not a God who kind of wound up the world and let it go, or you're not a God that just cares about the seemingly spiritual things of life, you know, praying and going to church and getting to heaven someday, but you care about everything about us. You love us so much. You want us to have these lives that are good, pleasing, and perfect, and so you care about our marriages and our parenting and our attitudes and our jobs. And God, I pray that we would kind of take this seriously today and that we would really take a good look at ourselves, a good look at what we do for a living, and we would really listen for your voice as you speak to us, as you reveal who we are, and that we would find your calling for us. We would find your career for us so that we could feel your pleasure, so that we could know we're doing what we were made to do. And God, so that we can have great impact for you and bring honor to you. God, would you help us to break free from the voices we've heard, maybe that weren't yours, from maybe the path that we find ourselves in but don't want to be in anymore, to break free and really find the life that you have for us and the will and the career you have for us. God, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
1, 2, 3, 4. All right. We'd love to have you stay.